Okay, hello everybody. It is March 2nd, the 18th of Adar, 5781, and we are continuing through Malachim Aleph Perek Aleph. I'm not promising anything, but we might finish Perek Aleph next week, but I only started preparing, so I can't promise you. But what I'm most excited about this week is that it actually is relevant to this week's Parsha, Ki Tisa. And I'm especially excited because so many parts of Ki Tisa are neglected because everyone wants to talk about the golden calf. And or maybe they'll talk about the count, the census of the Chatzi Shekel. But this is, you're going to see, it's a much overlooked little piece in the Parsha. So you'll have something to share at your Shabbos table. Okay, so we're going to start off with David HaMelech's response to Natan and Bathsheba, which we didn't get to last week. So, oh, but before that, sorry. So looking backwards, hi Ruth, we just started. Looking
Hi,
backwards,
thank you.
I noticed something just because we had just learned this in the Megillah that the king says to Esther, Ma lach, Esther. What is it to you, Esther HaMelech? He says to the queen, and he says, Uma bakashtech, what is your request? Ad chetzi hamalchut, vayinatein la, lach. So the king is willing to give Esther chetzi hamalchut, half the kingdom. And I noticed in our parak, I remembered, because it was seemed like such unusual wording. Hi, Marguerite, we just started. That Bathsheba says that King David says the same thing to Bathsheba, Malach, when Bathsheba enters. And there were actually numerous times where men say this to women, and it seems, based on the other times, it's also in Shoftim and Yoshua. It's the same story repeating with Kalev and his daughter, where his daughter wants a piece of land, and he says Malach, and it was a few other places. So I had said last week, without having looked at it, it's amazing because I do a pretty thorough job, given that we've been learning this for 6 weeks, really trying to research every little piece. But when you sometimes skip something that seems completely innocuous, it ends up that it's actually quite deep and interesting. So whereas last week I said that David said Malach, reflecting surprise and maybe disorientation at Bathsheba's entering into the room unannounced, given what I saw, I'd like to change that maybe David is saying malach, meaning Bathsheba, I'll give you whatever you want. That this is the way, whatever you want. Malach, what's to you? You can have, based on what we saw in the Megillah last week with King Ahasuerus and Queen Esther using the same language and the other language as well. And you can do your own research. So I just wanted to mention that because it's exciting when you notice these patterns. Okay, so now on to our portion. So, Vayan Hamelch David Vayomer, Kir'u li Levatsheva, Vetavo lifnei Hamelch, Vetamod lifnei Hamelch. So if you remember, I'll read it thing. So David answered and said, Call to me Bathsheba, and she came before the king and she stood before the king. So if you remember, Bathsheba and Natan were sort of in cahoots on how to deal with Adoniyahu announcing himself as king and having this party without having invited Natan and Shlomo, Benayahu, and the Tzadok, the priest for David, right? So they plan that Bathsheba would enter first. And if you remember, the Malbim highlighted that Bathsheba assumes, in a way, she presents it in such a way that she assumes David does not know about it. And then Natan comes in and he accuses too harsh of a word, but he pretends that David was aware of it and neglected to tell Natan. And they both do this to inform David, and they're appealing to the different sides of David as king, whether it's to get him angry or whether to embarrass him. That was how the Malbim explained it. So then we left on a cliffhanger, and this is David's response to both of them. So first he calls in Bathsheba, and she comes in. Vayishava hamelech vayomar. And the king swore, the shvuah, it's pretty serious, and he said, Chai Hashem, by the life of God, this is the language of a serious oath, asher padat nafshi mikol tzara, who has redeemed my soul from all troubles. Ki kasher nishbati lach ba'ashem Elokei Yisrael, lemor, ki shlomo b'nech yimloch acharai, V'hu yeshev al kis'i tachti, ki kein aseh hayom hazeh. Just as I swore to you, in the name of God, the God of Israel, we're going to see a different interpretation of that than what you might expect, saying that Shlomo, your son, he will reign after me, and he will sit in my throne under me in place of me, and thus I will do on this very day. Batikod Batsheva apaim arza. So Batsheva did this pike bow. It's always interesting. So she first touched her toes, bending at the waist, vatishtachu, and then she did the spread eagle, lamelch, to the king, vatomer yichi adoni hamelch David la'olam. And she said, may my lord, the king David, live forever. Okay, so you can imagine, this is a tricky line. A, he's not going to live forever, he's very sick, he's on his deathbed. And B, why would this be the first time we've ever heard this line? Why wouldn't people have wished this to David before this moment? So we're going to explore those things. Okay, so first, the Radak, ki early Batsheva, called to me Batsheva. So why does he have to call to Batsheva? It seems from, if you were to see the stage, there was no stage direction. When Batsheva came in to speak, and then it just told us that Natan, while she was still speaking, came in and started speaking. So what happened to Batsheva in that moment? So the Radak says, lo yetza me'acheder, she did not leave the room, aval rachaka memenu, but she went back, she went farther away, ma'at, a little bit, ba'od she'ya Natan medaber imo, while Natan was speaking with him. Lefichach amar, and therefore he said, kir'uli, call her to me, v'darasha katuv v'zeh rachok ma'od, and then he brings in what we talked about at the beginning of this parak, that he says is a midrash, and he says, rachok ma'od, it's very far-fetched. Where it says she'amar ki letashmish kara, that he called her for intimate relations, lehodia la'avishag ki mashu lo yada l'siba shehaita saralo lo mipnei shelo haya yichol, in order to inform Avishag that when she accused him, according to the midrash, of not being able to fulfill that side of a marriage, and that's why he didn't want to marry her, to show her that indeed he was still able. So the Radak is quoting that midrash, but he thinks it's very far-fetched, and it's based on this him calling to her, because presumably she's still in the room. So the midrash is picking up, why would he call to her while she's still in the room? Okay, in the Ralbag, Vayan Hamelch David, Vayomer Kir'uli LeBatsheva, and the king answered, and he said, call to me, Batsheva. Hine nir amiza ki Batsheva yatz'a min hachader. So the Ralbag, Gersonides, is saying, no, Batsheva actually did leave the room. Biva Natan hanavi ledaber al melech, when Natan, the prophet, came in to speak to the king, kedei shelo yakir hamelech ki zeh hadavar haya muskam b'nehem, in order so that the king would not recognize that Natan and Batsheva had made some kind of deal together in how they would present. She felt that her staying in the presence of the king while Natan was speaking might give away that they were in some sort of cahoots together. Uleze kara David le Batsheva, and that's why David called to Batsheva. And this last part I didn't understand perfectly, but it was interesting enough that I didn't delete it, so I'm exposing my ignorance here to you, but maybe you'll have some insights. But he was scared to come to her, vilomar elu hadavrim, to say these things, kihi haita yoter atzamit baze, because she was more, I think, ingrained in it, minatan hanavi, from Natan hanavi, because of course it was her son we're talking about. And then he compares it, so that made sense. Somehow, it doesn't really make sense that David's afraid to speak to her. I'm not sure what's going on there. But that Batsheva is more invested in this. Like we saw with the Tekoan woman. If you remember, this was when David was refusing to have an audience with Avshalom, his son. And Yoav hired this Tekoan woman who was wise. We spent a lot of time talking about that, what she was wise in, if they were all actors, if they had some insight into human psychology, in that she was able to create a situation to convince David that he needed to reconcile with Avshalom. So somehow with this Tekoan woman, she'asta, she'amra ha'devrim el Yoav, that she said the things to Yoav, lo eleha, not to her. So this is where it was confusing, but I couldn't resist ignoring the reference to the Tekoan woman, another great woman in Sefer Shmuel. So I'm sorry, I don't know what it's saying, but I had to bring it up anyway. Somehow, Ralbag is implying, though, that David called to Bathsheba because he was afraid to come to her. I don't know. Anyway, now the Malbi, any questions on that? I'm sorry, I can't explain further. I'm trying not to apologize so much. Thanks to Louis. Okay, so the Malbim on that. Kir'uli, ki be'et sheba Natan aviv, yetz'a belo ma'ana. So at the time that Natan came in, yet Bathsheba left without an answer. V'hodia la'ata ki yamalei shvuato b'yom hazeh. And now he was informing her, so he's going back to answer to Bathsheba, that he would fulfill his vow on that day. So again, Malbim seems to think that she left and he's calling her back. Lamed Aleph, Yichi Adoni HaMelech David Le'olam. May my Lord, King David, live forever. Milvad Kavana Hapshuta She'arich Yamim. So outside of the simple intention of this kind of line, that your days should be lengthened, you should have a long life. Kavana She'malchut Beno Tia Ke'iluhu Chai U'molech. The intent here is that the reign of his son should be as if he is still living and reigning. Ki hamalchut mityachaset alav, because his reign would be related to him. Shehu la l'rosh pina, because he's the foundation stone. David would be the foundation stone. V'hakisei kisei David, and the throne is the throne of David, because it's inherited. V'gam mitzad hasod David chai v'keyam. And also from the aspect of the secret, which could be Kabbalah, which I don't know, that David lives forever. Radak, on this phrase, Yechi Olam, should live forever. Perush Chaye Nefesh Le'olam Haba. So he's interpreting it, not that David should actually live forever, and not that it refers to Shlomo replacing him as king and continuing on his kingship, but rather that he should live in the next world. His soul should live in the next world. Because in this world, he's very close to death. And this is also how Yonatan translated it into Aramaic. Yitzkayem, he should endure. And any other time it says that the king should live, Targum Yonatan translated as he should succeed. So here, Targum Yonatan makes an exception in terms of how he is translating it, not as the King David should succeed, but that King David should endure, I guess, in Olam Haba. Okay, now we have Meshech Chachma, which is Rav Simcha Meir Simcha, of Dvinsk, 19th century. Okay, you can read about him while I read. So Kasher Nish, and this is on, so he has a commentary in the Chumash, and also on the Haftarot he does. So again, to remind you, this is the Haftarah for Chayesara. Kasher Nishbati Lach Vashem Elkei Yisrael. So as I swore to you in the name of God, the God of Israel. So when we read that, the God of Israel, we think of us as B'nai Israel. But every once in a while, when it says the God of Israel, it actually means literally the God of Yisrael, otherwise known as Yaakov. So he says, Perush, ki kmo Yisrael, Saba, himlich b'no Yehuda, v'natal miruvain. So just like Yisrael, the grandfather, caused to reign his son Yehuda, and he took it away from his firstborn Reuven, Kein anochi amlich Shlomo hatzair me'adoniyahu. I too am going to put Shlomo on the throne, who's younger than Adoniyahu. U'kipirush ha'targum al yater se'et. And just like Targum, he'll be caring more. So similar to that, I guess, is that he's following in the footsteps of Yisrael, who also did not go according to age and birth order, and declared that Yehuda would be the king. Okay, so now, this was super interesting. This is Chidushei HaGriz. Let me just tell you who he is first. So Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik. From 1886, he was born, and his father was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who's very famous as the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. And so Rav Yitzchak Zev, he was the father of Rav Yosef Dov, who is Rav Soloveitchik, whose sister married Rav Michal Feinstein. So the children of, there's a connection between the Feinstein family and the Soloveitchik family. So that's who he is. And this is from, I'm not sure what the context of this is. I apologize. I think it's maybe a tshuva. So Malachim Aleph, Haftarat Chayesara, could be just a commentary on the Haftarah again. V'yishba ha-melech v'yomer, Chay Hashem asher padat nafshi mikol tzara, ki kasher nishbati lecha v'chulei, ki Shlomo b'nachim loch. So again, this oath that Shlomo will reign, and then Batsheva bows, and she says, Yechi Adoni ha-melech David le'olam. So she then says, David, my lord, King David, will live forever. V'tzarich bior, we need to explore this. Madua amra yichi adoni hamach David laolam. Why did Bathsheba say this? My lord, the king will reign forever. Rak ze ata v'lo kodim lachen. Only now and not before this. V'hanirah b'kol ze dihine haRambam b'perush haMishnah perek chalek katav. So the Rambam, I think he actually wrote it when he was 20, his commentary on the Mishnah. And he has a very famous introduction in Sanhedrin, Perek Chalek, where he goes over all sorts of foundational laws about Judaism and halacha. I read it once many years ago. And so Hayisod Hayud Bet, so he has the 12th foundation of Yomot Mashiach, the days of the Mashiach. V'hu lahamin ula'amet she'avo chulei. So let's actually just read it in English. This is from, I think it might be from Chabad. So the 12th fundamental principle refers to the Messianic era. We are to believe as fact that the Mashiach will come and not consider him late. If he delays, wait for him, from Habakkuk. Set no time limit for his coming. One must not make conjectures based on scripture to conclude when Mashiach will come. The sages said, may the spirit depart from those who calculate the end time. One must believe that Mashiach will have more station and honor than all kings who ever lived, as all the prophets from Moshe to Malachi prophesied. Whoever doubts this or minimizes it, denies the passage, begins, you are standing. And then I bolded this because this is what's relevant to our text. A corollary of this principle is the assertion that the king of Israel must come only from the house of David and seed of Solomon. Anyone who rejects this family denies God and the words of his prophets. Okay, so something you might not have known when we talk about the reign of the line of David is that it's not just the line of David, but it's specifically the line of Shlomo, not his other sons, that Mashiach has to come from, according to this foundational principle of the Rambam. And he brings in another Rambam, V'chein Mevoar, Miharambam, that's Rambam, b'sefer ha-mitzvot, lo ta'aseh, shin samach bet. So this is Rambam's list of 613 mitzvot in the negative commandments, number 362. And again, we'll read it in English from Chabad.org, appointing a foreigner as a king. The 362nd prohibition is that we are forbidden from appointing over ourselves a king who is not of Jewish lineage, even if he is a ger tzedek, a righteous convert. The source of this prohibition is God's statement, exalted be he, you may not appoint a foreigner who is not one of your brethren. And that is from Devarim. And we actually spent a lot of time looking at that passage about the laws of Jewish king when we first learned about Shaul a long, long time ago. The Sifri says the verse, you may not appoint a foreigner, constitutes a prohibition. It is also prohibited to appoint a ger tzedek to any other position, whether in Torah or in government, unless his mother is Jewish. From this, that God, exalted be he, said, you shall appoint for yourselves a king among your brethren. Our sages derived, all appointments you make over yourselves must be from among your brethren. Just as an aside, this isn't really any different from America, who requires that people be born United States citizens. So this would be similar to that. I was actually wondering if anybody knows this. Israel, I wonder, I don't, Israel can't have that law, right? Because it's too young of a country to really be able to say that you have to be born an Israeli citizen. I wonder if that will ever happen. And I wonder if Israel, in terms of prime minister, would have any laws regarding, no, they wouldn't, of course,
I think
converts.
you may need to give up foreign citizenships, though, to sit in the Knesset.
Right, I think you're right. I have a, yeah. Yeah, Ruth, you're absolutely right. So you can have been born somewhere else, have citizenship somewhere else, but you must give it up before. Yeah, Dov Lipman had to do that, right, with his American citizenship. Okay. So now to what's relevant for us. The position of king is unique in that it was bestowed upon David and his descendants. As you know from the words of the prophet, our sages said explicitly, kingship was bestowed upon David, and so too his descendants for all generations. For those who believe in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, a king must descend from David and Shlomo. One who is not from this distinguished lineage is considered a foreigner as far as kingship is concerned, just as any Jew who does not descend from Aaron is considered a foreigner as far as serving in the temple. This is clear beyond any doubt. Okay, so Rambam makes it very clear that a foundational principle of the Jewish king is that he comes from not just David, but specifically Shlomo HaMelech. Hare mevu'ar d'malchut beit David ne'amra she'yeh rak mizera Shlomo. So it's clear that the kingship of David, when it's talked about, is only from the line of Shlomo, davka, specifically, v'lo mizera David, and not just from the seed of David, she'eno mizera Shlomo, which is not from the line of Shlomo. U'mekor lezeh, yesh lomar mihad de'ita b'divrei hayamim, and there's a source in the Tanakh for this, from Chronicles. And here's the pasuk from Devar Hayamim Aleph, Kafchet Hei. And of all my sons, for the Lord gave me many sons, he chose my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel, showing that it's chosen by God. Umivu'ar dehaita bichira miuchadet al Shlomo. And it's clear that there was a special choice of Shlomo, kashem shaita bichira al Shevet Yehuda ubeit David atzmo, just like there was this choice of the tribe of Judah and the house of David himself. Kamosha muvuar kodem beparsha, as it was explained earlier in the parsha. Ve'ayidei bichirat Shlomo, hu shenigmara bichirat beit David lemalchut. And in choosing Shlomo, this is concluding the choice of the house of David for kingship. Umikan shekol mi she'eino mizera Shlomo, chaser. And from here on, anybody who is not from the line of Shlomo is missing what's necessary to be chosen. Umikan hamakor ledivrei HaRambam. And this is the source for the words of the Rambam. V'hinei kvar huva la'el b'shem HaGrach, Zatzal. And he already brought above in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, she'amar shechaluk David mizar'o, saying that David is separate from his line. De'al zar'o haita havtacha, on his line there was a promise, shegam im lo yishmeru haTorah lo tipasek malchutam. If anybody from Shlomo going forward were to stop keeping Torah law, they still would not lose out on their right to kingship. Aval, but leDavid atzmo, Haitaha haftacha rak im yishmor haTorah ayin sham. So Rav Chaim, I guess, says that David himself, had he stopped keeping the Torah, he would have lost his role in being the king of Israel, and it would have been cut off from him. But once it's established from Shlomo going forward, it's promised unconditionally. Ve'al pi zeh yuvaru hadvarim kan. And by way of this, we can explain what's happening here in our book of Malachim. She'ta'anu leDavid she'im Shlomo lo yimloch, im kein otah ha'havtaka lezar'o lo titkayem. So if Shlomo had not been placed as the king under David, this promise to his seed would not have lasted. She'arei havtacha ne'amra rak lezar'o shel Shlomo. This promise was only relevant with regard to the line of Shlomo. De'leDavid atzmo lo haya havtacha kmo shenichtav. That might be some different Rashi Tevot than what I just said about a condition. So for David, this promise was not given unconditionally. I'm going to translate it that way. V'im kein, harei malchut beit David tuchal hipasek im lo yimloch Shlomo. David's reign could have ended if he had not placed Shlomo next. And when David swore that Shlomo would indeed reign, that's the moment that the reign of David would remain forever. And that's why it makes a lot of sense that Bathsheba would have waited until this moment to say, may my Lord King David live forever. That is to say, not that David would live forever, but the kingship, the reign of David would endure forever. By way of him appointing Shlomo as his heir. Okay, so I thought that was really interesting to specify Shlomo and why Bathsheba said, now you'll live forever, only at
can
this
ask,
moment.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Stacey, can I ask you what? What's he basing himself on there to make that statement?
So he's basing himself on the Rambam and how the Rambam specifies Shlomo. He doesn't just say Mashiach has to come from David. He says Mashiach has to come from David and Shlomo.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. Any other questions? Okay. Moving on. So now David is now going to get ready to put into motion exactly what he said he would do. Vayomer Hamelch David, David said, King David said, Kiruli litzadok hakoin ulenatan hanavi ulvanayahu ben Yehoyada vayavo livnei hamelch. So he calls to Tzadok the Kohen, Natan the prophet, Benayahu, who's his general or will become his general, and they all came before the king. And these are the three people, if you remember, not invited to Adoniyahu's feast. Lamigimel vayomer hamelch lahem. David said to them, "Kru imachem et avdei adonechem, v'hirkavtem et Shlomo b'ni al hapirda asher li, v'horadetem oto el gichon." So the king said to him, "Take with you the servants of the Lord, and you shall place Shlomo upon the mule, my own mule, and bring him down to Gichon, which is a spring." Umashach oto sham, Tzadok Kohen, v'natan anavi lamelech, Tzadok the priest and Natan the prophet will anoint him there to be king, al Yisrael, over Israel, utkatem bashofar, and you will blow the shofar, v'amartem yichi hamelech Shlomo, and you will say, long live King Solomon, lamed hei v'alitem acharav, and you will go up after him, uva v'yashav al kis'i, and he will come and sit on my throne, v'hu yimloch takti, and he will reign in place of me, v'oto tziviti liot nagid al Yisrael ve'al Yehuda. And it is him that I have commanded to be the ruler over Israel and over Yehuda. V'yan Benayahu ben Yehoyada at hamelech, and Benayahu, the son of Yehoda, said to the king, answered to the king, v'yomer, and he said, amen. So it be so, may it be so. Kain Yomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Hamelch. The Lord, God of my Lord, the King, say so too. Namazayin Kasher Haya Hashem Im Adoni Hamelch. Kain Ye Im Shlomo. Just as my Lord God, no, just as God has been with my Lord, the King, so too shall he be with Shlomo. Vigadel et kiso mi kisei Adoni Hamelch David. And let his throne rise even above the throne of my Lord King David. So they all went down. We've seen that before. It's either the expert archers and bowmen, or it's the Urim Batumim from the breastplate. The commentaries are divided on what it is. Vayarkivu et Shlomo al pirdat hamelech, and they put Shlomo on the mule of the king, King David, sorry, vayalichu oto al gichon, and they brought him to the spring. Vaykach Tzadok hakoin et keren hashemen min haohel, and Tzadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent. This week's parsha, we'll see in a minute. Vayimshach et Shlomo, and he anointed Shlomo, vayitka'u b'shofar, and they blew the shofar, vayimru kol ha'am, yichi ha'melech Shlomo. And the entire nation, so somehow they attracted the attention of everybody, and they came, and they all said, long live King Solomon. Vayalu kol ha'am acharav, and the entire nation came up after him, ve'am mechalalim, bechalalim, And they played flutes, usmechim, simcha, and they rejoiced with great joy, gedola, vatibaka ha'aretz bekolam. And the earth was split by their voices. There's a whole discussion on that being an exaggeration, in case you didn't realize. Okay, so let's look at Rashi first. On what is this mule? There wasn't enough information on this mule to satisfy me, but we'll see what we have. So al hapirda asher li. So David says, put him on my mule. Hu siman lo sheim loch. I'll just read it in English. On my own mule, this will be a positive sign that he will reign and the beginning of his advancement to greatness, since a commoner is forbidden to ride on the king's horse. To Gihon, Gihon and Shiloach are synonymous. From this is derived the custom not to anoint the kings except at the well, to symbolize thereby that his kingdom shall be endless as the waters of a well. So Radak has a slightly different take. Umashachoto, anoint him. Afal pi shelo haya tzarich l'mashcho, even though it wasn't necessary to anoint Shlomo, she'ein moshchim melech ben melech, when there's a hereditary passing of the king from father to son, the father's anointment is considered enough to make it all the way through that line. You don't need to anoint the son of an anointed king. Ki kishanim shach David lo ulizar onim shach. David was anointed for him and his seed, lemachut, for the kingship. Elam bipnei machlokoto sha'adoniyahu tziva lemashcho. He commanded them to anoint Shlomo because of the argument with Adoniyahu, so that there wouldn't be any doubt. Okay, and here's where we get to this week's parsha. So, Karen, the horn of oil, the special holy oil compounded by Moshe in the desert. So the ingredients and exactly how is all told in this week's parsha, so you'll have more appreciation for that section of the parsha. It's before the golden calf. From the tent, since the holy ark was in Jerusalem, which was known as the city of David, and the jug of oil of anointment was before it, both were therefore in Jerusalem, as we have learned in the tractate Yoma. Okay, so this same jug that we read about in this week's parsha, 1,000 years later, is used to anoint Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, and we're just going to finish with the Malbim's take on all this. Kir uli v'choli. Achar she'ra'a machloket ratza lechazek machuto al yidei kohen gadol v'navi u'benayahu shehaya rosh ha-Sanhedrin. So after they saw this divisiveness, they wanted to strengthen Shlomo's kingship by way of the high priest, the prophet, and Benayahu, who is the head of the Sanhedrin. She'al yidei ayadav ta'aseh ha-mishicha kehalacha, because by way of them, this anointment will be done according to halacha. Al ha-pirda asher li, so by way of this mule, lefi she'ein hadyot mishtamesh b'sharbito shamalach, because a normal person cannot use the scepter of the king, ve'ein ra'ui shishamesh kol ba'alei chayim b'davar machut. And it's not suitable to use any animals with regard to the kingship. Haya rochev al hapirda. So that's why he was riding on a mule. It seems strange, right? Like a horse would seem to be much more proper, or at the very least a donkey, but why a mule? Mule, remember, is made from a donkey and a horse, and is actually against halacha to combine these animals, and they can't reproduce. So that's why he was specifically on a mule, shelo haita mekabelet zachar, because this female mule cannot receive a male. They can't reproduce. Kama shekata katvu chazal, as our rabbis wrote. I don't know where the rabbis do write that mules can't reproduce. Umiyuchadet lemelech levad, and it's unique to only the king. So I guess only kings used mules. Uvezeh hira ki hu hamolech tachtav. And with this he showed that he would reign after him. Vitziva, or in place of him, sorry. Vitziva lehorido el gichon. He commanded him to bring him down to gichon. Shehu me hashiloch, that these are these living waters, hahochim la'at, that go slowly. Leremez al hamshachat machuto behashket, to hint at the continuing of his kingship quietly. So Rashi said that it was the idea of the well, that it would last forever and always be water there. Malbim is saying it's this quiet spring that don't have turbulent waters, that would be a sign that his reign would also be quiet and not turbulent. Ein moshkin malachim ela al gav ma'ayan. And my rabbi said that we only anoint a king next to a spring. V'hu yimloch tachti, and he will reign in place of me. Ratzon lomar lo acharei moti. He's saying, not after I die. Rak b'chaya yimloch tachti. He will reign in place of me during my lifetime. Uvkomi tekef, and in place of me immediately. V'oto tziviti, and this I commanded. B'inyan she'eno kemolech b'chaye aviv. In a matter that's not as if he's reigning in the lifetime of his father, because I'm commanding this, and the command will be put endure with this, and not that the kingship will be divided into two, as if to say that Adoniyahu would be able to reign over one tribe, Rak al Yisrael ve'al Yehuda. No, Shlomo is going to reign over Israel and over Yehuda. Lamed Vav, Kein Yomar Hashem, thus will say Hashem, this was the response of his people, She'askimo al-Zeh b'shamayim, that in heaven they'll also agree with this. Lamed Zayin, Ve'igdal kiso, and his throne will be greater. She'achrei she'Hashem, she'Hashem yihiyah im Shlomo, since God will be with Shlomo, kumo imcha, like he's with you, of course, then, his throne will be greater because he's the king, the son of a king. From greater than the throne of my lord the king, it's not to insult David, like you were only okay and Shlomo's going to be great. Rather, it's for the very reason that his throne comes from David, his father's throne. He has the merit of his forefathers, umachut b'Yerusha, and an inherited kingship, mashalo hayalecha, which you, David, did not have. So it's not, and we're actually going to explore this in a different light later, based on another statement about jealousy between fathers and sons, which will be interesting, but we won't get to that later. But here the Ma'aviv is explaining, it's not an issue to be jealous about, it's simply a matter of fact that Shlomo, with the merit of his forefathers and the inherited kingship, has no choice but to become a greater king than David, because he has all these advantages. So this is how it came to pass that Shlomo began his kingship during the lifetime of his father, as a result of Adoniyahu trying to take it during his father's lifetime. And we see that Bathsheba and Natan's ruse, which wasn't really a ruse in a negative sense, but in order to set the kingship right so that God's will of David's son Shlomo being the continuing of the line of David, as we saw in the Rambam, would be properly set in place. And this is how it happens. Next week, if you imagine this is an epic film of the Bible, so we've been focusing on David's house, we've now switched to Shlomo. Next week, we're going to pan back to Adoniyahu and his followers and how they respond. So you can read ahead if you must, but it is a really exciting story. Any questions?
It's really very shocking that in the middle of Adoniyahu's coronation feast, all of a sudden they hear all this noise, and coming down the road is, you know, Shlomo riding on the royal mule. You know, it's just, it's shocking, and it also is an extraordinary statement about Bathsheba, who was really behind it all.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, yeah, it took some courage and fortitude.
And very elegantly did it, you know, in a very obsequious manner.
Yes, yes. Very charming. Any other questions, comments? That went faster than I expected. Okay.